are you?
Well, good morning. Welcome to the Be the Edge Challenge call. I'm glad y'all are with us today. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about every day, especially these Thursday morning calls, but especially this morning. Mark is going to share with us the fourth of the core beliefs from a biblical worldview, not the hallmarks, not the disciplines, but just what the biblical worldview is that a biblical worldview company is looking to put into action. So without taking anything from that, y'all know Mark, the chaplain at ITC, and we're just grateful to have Mark as a huge part of the team here. So Mark, it's all yours.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Kevin. Just a few numbers for you this morning. Can you see those? We got 68, 6, and 1. Okay, 68, 6, and 1. You have no idea what those numbers mean, but let me tell you, okay? Based on a recent survey done earlier this year by the Barna Research Group, that 68 is 68% of Americans consider themselves to be Christian. To me, that number is incredibly high. I mean, it's surprisingly high that 68% of Americans consider themselves to be Christian. However, the second number there, the number 6, is that of those 68% of Americans being Christian, only 6% of them have a biblical worldview. And that's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, the biblical worldview. But just as a review, you may ask, what is the biblical worldview? It's a really good question. There's basically 6 tenets to the biblical worldview. One is that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. 2, that God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe. 3, that salvation is a gift from God and it can't be earned. 4, is that Satan, the enemy, is real. He's a real being, and he exists to be in opposition to God and his creation. 5, that the Christian believer has a responsibility to share their faith in Christ with others. They have a responsibility to share their faith with others. And 6, a 6th main tenet of the biblical worldview is that the Bible is accurate in all things. And this has to do with historically, morally, spiritually, and in other ways too. Okay, so those are the 6 tenets of the biblical worldview. Now, you may be wondering what that last number is. 1. You know, out of those 68% of Americans who consider themselves to be Christian, only 6% believe all 6 of those things. But under the age of 30, of all Americans, only 1% have this biblical worldview. Okay, think about that. Among adults under the age of 30, only 1% of them hold to this biblical worldview, believe in all 6 of these things. That includes your kids, your grandkids, and that young talent that you hired earlier this year, okay? So today, Kevin asked me to narrow the focus in on one of those 6 tenets, that God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe. And over the past few weeks, I've been going through the story of Moses with all of our people here at ITC. We've talked about Moses' birth, his adoption, his murder of an Egyptian, running away to Midian as a result of that murder. And then we talked about God calling him at the age of 80 through the burning bush. And then we talked about God, his confrontation with the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And just yesterday, we read through a passage together, Exodus 12, 31 and 32. I'm going to read it to you real quick. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and all the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you requested. Take your flocks, take your herds, and as you've said, just go and also bless me on the way out." This is the moment that Moses had been working towards. This is the moment for which God had been moving things on heaven and on earth. And this is the moment the people of Israel have been crying, pleading, and praying that God would finally deliver them to. Pharaoh was finally broken. His nation was in shambles, and his firstborn son, heir to the throne, was dead. The 10 plagues had ravaged his nation in unimaginable ways. Remember those 10 plagues? You had the Nile, the entire Nile River, the life of the entire nation turned to blood. You had frogs pounce in and cover the entire country. You had lice or gnats or mosquitoes, we're not sure which, could just infiltrate the entire people. You had flies, same thing. You had all the livestock dead. You had boils coming up on the skin of every person. You had hail come rain down from heaven to destroy all the crops. And whatever crops was left over, there were swarms of locusts that came in and ate it all up. To boot all that, God comes in and blots out the sun. This sun was darkened as the ninth plague. And then you of course remember the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn over all the country. Okay. Guys, the fish was dead, the water was undrinkable, the livestock was all but gone, and so were the crops. Even the sun had been blacked out, spitting in the face of Egypt's prized god, Ra. And then finally, the firstborns gone. And now Pharaoh and all the people of Egypt were finally ready to get the Israelites out of Egypt as soon as possible. Okay. So we talked about this, and we talked about this with all of our people. And as I read through that story, as the Israelites are about to embark on the rest of their journey, I couldn't help but think about and take a step back and say, well, what does this say about God? To me, it's really simple. This whole story, including those 10 plagues that we just went through and reviewed, it shows God's knowledge and his power. And even more than that, it illustrates the effort and energy that God will use that power to redeem and rescue those whom he has called. Okay, thankfully, God didn't stop with the redemption of the Israelites ever, all right? In fact, it's his habit. It's who he is. God would even be able to use these Israelites who, if you know the story, you know that they kind of wane and wander and they fall off the rails so many times, but he finally uses them through his knowledge and his power, his all-knowing knowledge, his all-powerful, we call it omnipotence, to use that people to be a light to the rest of the world, to redeem the rest of the world. Okay? He did it through Jesus. Fast forward 1,500 years, and we listen to the way Apostle Paul said it. He said in Romans 8, he says, "What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one that we condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. And all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, this is who God is. There's nothing like him in the world. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He has immeasurable power, immeasurable knowledge, and he wields it on behalf of those whom he loves. There's no lengths that he won't go to redeem those who he loves. He loves you. He loves the people that you work with. He loves your family. He did it for the Israelites, and he'll do it for you. Today, I encourage you, go and be the edge.
Thank you, Mark.